Do not be afraid. Go and do as you have said. But first, make a little cake of it and bring it to me. And afterwards, make something for yourself and your son. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, the Old Testament reading starts this morning with a prophet getting a command from God, which is the way a lot of stories in the Old Testament start, that a command comes to a prophet, and that prophet is going to go and act on that command. And the command this morning is, go to Sidon and Zarephath, for there is a widow there who can feed you. And you think that this might be a strange command if you did not know that Elijah needs to go somewhere else because where he is at, there is no food at all. That there has been a drought in the land where he has been for 3 years and there has been no rain and there is no food. And if Elijah stays where he is currently at, he will continue to starve. But God has made a way for him to receive some kind of sustenance in the way that he sends somebody with nothing to somebody with just a little more than nothing. And Elijah does what all the good prophets in the Old Testament do. The bad prophets actually don't do this. They sometimes get commands and don't follow them. He goes. And he might go because God told him to, but he might just go because he's hungry. And when he gets there, he goes to the gate of the city and he is waiting, and I'm sure he doesn't know which widow it is. There are probably many widows in a town like this where there has been a drought. And a widow comes out to gather sticks, and he goes to this one and begins to engage her in conversation. She gets him some water, and then he says, I'd really like to have something to eat. And she said, I don't really have anything to give you. These sticks that I was picking up when you came are what I'm going to build the last fire that my son and I are going to hunker down, and we're going to make the last loaf of bread that we can out of the meal and the oil that we have. And we're going to eat it, and then we're going to die. And Elijah, in what seems to be the most bold act in all of the biblical narrative history, says, I want you to go and make that loaf of bread with those sticks that you picked up. But when you make it, I want you to give it to me. And then, I want you to make another loaf, and I want you to eat this. And you can imagine that this woman, you might think, thinks that the math is wrong here. There is no way that she has already planned, if you know the recipe, how much bread you can make, and she's not going to be able to make much more than is for her and her son. But Elijah says, why don't you make it and bring it to me, and then make more for your son. He said, he prefaces by saying, just don't be afraid about it. Do not be afraid. Make that, make another one for your son, and you know what? Continue making bread. And I want to point out right here, because this does change the way the story reads, he does not say this conditionally. He does not tell her, do not be afraid. If you make one for me, trust me, you'll have more. He said, I've come, make one for me, make one for yourself, and keep making. Keep making. And the widow goes off, and she does this, and you can imagine, especially if you think this is conditional, she thinks she's been given a test. Or you might imagine she's like, we're going to die anyway, what does it matter if we buy a few extra hours with the one loaf I can make? Or you might think that she's being bullied by some strange man that shows up at the gate of her city. But I don't think any of that's right. I think when she talks to Elijah, she has a worldview that allows her to go and make bread in this way because she realizes how she has been fed in the past. And however she's been fed in the past is the way she'll be continue to be fed in the future. This widow realizes that all of the food that I've eaten to this point in my life, I've tried to make good decisions, I've tried to hustle, I've tried to do good things, I've tried to earn what I use, and I've tried to earn my keep. And yet, she knows that she has been fed in the past, and a large portion of the way that she has been fed, especially as a widow in a society with no safety net whatsoever, comes by act of provision and grace that is outside of any choice that she could make. And because she knows this, she knows that if that is the way I've lived so far, why would I live any differently in the future? Why would I, in this moment, where I've lived on the grace of others, decide that I'm going to live on my own self-sufficiency and my own self-reliance right now and keep the bread that I have for myself and my son? Because that's not the way I've made it this far in life. Lots of things have happened to me, some clearly bad. She is a widow, and yet she has made it to this point. And she knows that if she has made it to this point, it was not all on her own initiative, on her own smarts, on her own labor. Somewhere along the line, in many places along the line, it was grace that fed her. And in this moment where Elijah says, make me a loaf, then make yourself a loaf, and keep making loaves, she knows that the way she was sustained in the past is the way that she can trust to be sustained in the future. She does not act out in faith that has no evidence. The evidence is the realization she has come to that everything that she has and the way that she has been provided for is grace. That is why she is able to make bread, because the evidence of God's grace in her past gives her hope for the future. It's such a remarkable story this way, because it is really, when you think about the decisions that you make in your life, when you think about the ways that you want to give in your life, when you think about the choices that you want to make for moving forward, they often do not start with the assumption or the realization or the proper worldview that the place that you've gotten to right now, you have had very, very little to do with. In fact, every metric that we can have in our society that says that the folks that look like us and sound like us and drive cars like us, the biggest thing that you know determined that in your life, you did not choose. For most of us, it was the zip code in which we were born. That is the biggest determining factor. And there might be a determining factor about what your folks did for a living or what their bank account balance was. All things completely out of your control. And yet we do live under the delusion often that the place that we are at right now, we got here on our own. That we were smart enough and hardworking enough to do this. And the things that we have are earned. But I'm here to tell you, there is no data that says that is true. The data all is to the contrary, that we all got lucky. Or we all were extended grace. And so for us to move forward, the first thing we need to do to live in faith is to change our worldview and realize that wherever we're at in our life at this moment, even the good and the bad of it, there is grace in it. Because until we do that, until we realize that what we have depends so little on the choices that we have made in our own aptitudes and capabilities, we cannot move forward into the future that is unknown and take steps where we do not know the outcome and do ridiculous things like make our last flour and oil into a loaf of bread for another person instead of for ourselves. It is so, you know, it's just such a lens by which we look at the world. But if we let go of that, and we realize that the flour in the jars that we have in our homes did not get there purely by our own good works. If we go back and we see that the dollars that are in our bank account, in some ways the families in our lives are not there because we made the right decision at some point. Though I'm not saying we don't make decisions, I'm not saying decisions have no outcome, but we do know that the outcomes that they have are often correlation and not necessarily causation. Because we all know folks who have made great decisions in their lives and suffer greatly in spite of them. And we know people who are brilliant and have never made a bad decision in their life and yet find themselves in places that are untenable. Both of those folks have some moment of grace, and finding that we sustain ourselves on the grace of the past so that we can live into the grace of the future is life changing. And that goes for us as individuals. It also goes for us as people, as a community, as a parish. There are lots of questions about, like, St. Luke's, but I'll tell you, the first thing for figuring out the future of St. Luke's is realizing that as we sit here in this place this morning, we did not get here because we made the best decisions all along the way. And we did not get to whatever bad things we had because we made bad decisions along the way. We got where we are right now, and some of it is arbitrary, and some of it is coincidence, and some of it is good luck, but some of it is hard work. But it's all there that we must see that it is God's grace that sustained this place this far. And if it is to be sustained in the future, it will be sustained, not because people figure out the best strategy for moving forward. It will be sustained because whatever meal and oil that we have left in the jars in this place, we are willing to make it and give it to somebody else. And we are willing to know that when we do that, we are not exhausting our resources. We are extending them. We will be sustained in the future in the exact same way we've been sustained in the past, whether we realize it or not. We have been sustained by grace. If that was the engine of the past, it can only be the engine of the future. So, when Lutherans preach, they always tell me that they're supposed to preach law first and then gospel. So I think that's the gospel part. Grace is always the gospel part. But here's a little bit of the law part, because it comes up in what Jesus does with this other widow that's in the story, which is actually why we get the widow's story in the Old Testament, the lectionary this morning as well. Which is the reason that the viewpoint that we have earned the things that we have, is so dangerous. It's not just merely that it impoverishes our faith by thinking that we've earned stuff or we are giving God back things that we got ourselves, which is, you know, just a completely untenable view. But it is dangerous because we begin to lay that view onto the world around us. And we say there are people that are not being sustained. And if you're saying God sustains through grace, I see people not being sustained. Well, here's why. God made more than one human being. You are God's plan for extending grace to the world around you. When that sustenance is not happening, it is because that system is broken. Because we have the view that people are sustained by something other than grace. And when we don't participate in it, we don't participate in the sustenance of others. I think it's often because we think that the world operates on some other deep foundation of merit and not one of grace. And so we as individuals, we as a parish, we as a society must come to the realization if grace sustained us in the past, it will sustain us in the future, and we get to participate in that grace. Those of us who have been lucky enough, and it is luck, we have the great joy of being God's means of grace in the world around us, to provide sustenance, provide provision, to go out and to tell folks, do not be afraid. And we don't take that role, we become an awful lot like that scribe that's described in the gospel this morning, which is often, it's always hard for me to read that now that I'm Episcopalian, because the first line says wearing long robes. And I didn't grow up wearing a long robe in church. They have forgotten, those scribes, that they were sustained by grace. And they think they're sustained by their long robes and their long prayers and the wealth that they have acquired through what they think is their smarts. But they did not. Beware the scribes. But also, do not be afraid. Amen.